Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Grupo Financiero Galicia First Quarter 2025 Earnings Call. This conference is being recorded and the replay will be available at the company's website at gfgsa.com. We would like to inform that all attendees will only be listening to the conference during the presentation, and then we will start the question and answer section when further instructions will be provided. Some of the statements made during this conference call will be forward-looking statements within the meaning of the safe harbor provisions of the U.S. federal securities laws and are subject to risks and uncertainty that could cause actual results to differ materially from those expressed. Investors should be aware of events related to the macroeconomic scenario, the financial industry, and other factors that could result to differ materially from those expressed in their respective forward-looking statements. Now, I will turn the conference over to Mr. Gonzalo Fernandez Covaro, CFO, and Mr. Pablo Firvida, Head of Investor Relations. You may begin your conference.
Thank you, Sofia. Good morning and welcome to this conference call. I'm Pablo Firvida, together with Ms. Gonzalo Fernandez Covaro. According to the Monthly Indicator for Economic Activity, EMAE, the Argentine economy recorded a 5.6% year-over-year increase during March, while in year-to-date terms, the economic expansion reached 6.1%. During the first quarter of 2025, the primary surplus reached 0.5% of GDP and the overall surplus 0.2% of GDP. This implied a slight deterioration compared to the first quarter of 2024, when primary surplus was 0.7% of GDP. The National Consumer Price Index accumulated an 8.6% increase during the first quarter of 2025 and an 11.6% rise as of the end of April, reaching a 47.3% annual variation from April 2024. On the monetary front, the monetary base increased by 0.8 trillion pesos in the first quarter, recording a 145% increase as compared to March 2024. The exchange rate maintained a 2% monthly crawl throughout 2024, and the Argentine Central Bank slowed the pace of adjustment to 1% per month starting February 1, 2025. The exchange rate averaged 1,069 pesos per dollar in March 2025, a 20.5% devaluation in year-over-year terms. On April 11, 2025, the Central Bank implemented a foreign exchange regime with a band within which the exchange rate may fluctuate freely. These bands were initially set between 1,000 and 1,400 pesos per dollar and will be adjusted monthly at a rate of minus 1% for the lower bound and plus 1% for the upper bound. The monetary policy rate started 2025 at 22%, but was reduced in late January to 29% and remained at this level until nowadays. In March 2025, the average rate on peso-denominated private sector time deposits for up to 59 days stood at 29.5%, 55.9 percentage points below the March 2024 average. Private sector deposits in pesos averaged 80.6 trillion pesos in March, increasing by 8.5% during the quarter and 89.9% in the last 12 months. Time deposits in pesos rose 16.5% during the quarter and 125.9% in the year, and peso-denominated transactional deposits increased 0.6% during the quarter and 60% in year-over-year terms. Private sector dollar-denominated deposits amounted to $29.7 billion in March 2025, decreasing 6.6% during the quarter and rising 78.3% in the last 12 months. Peso-denominated loans to the private sector averaged 60.8 trillion pesos in March, showing a 20.1% quarterly increase and a 228.1% year-over-year rise, and private sector dollar-denominated loans amounted to $14.1 billion, increasing 42.1% and 225.8% respectively. Turning now to Grupo Financiero Galicia, net income for the first quarter amounted to 146 billion pesos, 63% lower from the year-ago quarter. The result comes from profits from Naranja X for 64 billion pesos, from Banco Galicia for 37 billion pesos, from Galicia Asset Management for 29 billion pesos, and from Galicia Seguros for 11 billion pesos. This profit represented a 1.7% annualized return on average assets and an 8.8% return on average shareholders' equity. Going to Banco Galicia, the result of the quarter was negatively affected by the reduction in the prices of the trading bond portfolio and the increase in the cost of risk associated with the growth of the loan book and the increase in the NPLs in the retail segment. The net income for the quarter was 90% lower than in the same quarter of 2024 due to an 84% lower operating result. This was primarily a consequence of a 68% decrease of net operating income, as net interest income decreased 66%, mainly because during the first quarter of 2024, the bond portfolio adjusted by inflation had remarkably high yields. Net results from financial instruments fell 65% due to a reduction in the bond portfolio, and results from foreign currency quotation differences decreased 80%. The above-mentioned decreases were partially offset by a 26% growth of net fee income. Average interest earning assets reached 14.9 trillion pesos, 45% higher than in the same quarter of 2024, primarily due to a 97% increase of the average portfolio of loans in pesos and of 702% of dollar-denominated loans, partially offset by an 88% reduction in the average balance of other interest-earning assets in pesos. In the same period, its yield decreased 95 percentage points, reaching 31.9%. Interest-bearing liabilities increased 67% from March 2024, amounting to 13.6 trillion pesos, primarily due to the increase of time deposits in pesos and of saving accounts and other deposits in foreign currency. During this period, its cost decreased 41 percentage points to 13.9%. Net interest income decreased 66% when compared to the first quarter of 2024. This was the result of a 63% decrease in interest income because of an 80% lower interest on government securities and a 99% lower interest on repo transactions, together with a 58% decrease in interest expenses due to a 46% lower interest rate on time deposits and an 80% interest rate on other deposits. Net fee income increased 26% from March 2024 due to a 26% higher income from credit card fees and of 34% from fees on deposits. Net income from financial instruments decreased 65% due to a 67% lower results from government securities. Gains from FX quotation differences were 80% lower than the year-ago quarter, including the results from foreign currency trading. Other operating income decreased 39% in the quarter, while provisions for loan losses increased 193% because of the growth of the financing portfolio and to an increase in delinquency. Personal expenses were 19% lower than a year before, and it is worth to mention that during this quarter we began to use the provision for restructuring expenses established in the fourth quarter of 2024. Administrative expenses increased 25% due to a 57% increase of hired administrative services and a 20% increase of expenses for maintenance and repairment of goods and IT, and 187% higher publicity, promotions, and research expenses. Other operating expenses decreased 49% due to a 52% lower turnover tax related to financial operations and 97% lower charges for other provisions. Results from the net monetary position decreased 79% year over year following the downward evolution of the inflation. The income tax charge was 65% lower than in the year-ago quarter due to lower operating results. Finally, the other comprehensive income included a 75.1 billion loss, mainly due to Treasury bills lecaps. The bank's financing to the private sector reached 12.6 trillion pesos at the end of the quarter, up 107% in the last 12 months, with peso financing increasing 88% and dollar-denominated financing growing 177%, while by credit line, promissory notes increased 171%, credit card financing 66%, and personal loans 221%. Net exposure to the public sector decreased 35% year over year, primarily due to the reduction of repo transactions. This exposure represented 19% of total assets as of the end of the quarter, compared to 40% of the year before. Deposits reached 15 trillion pesos, 48% higher than a year before, mainly due to 121% increase in saving accounts in dollars and a 69% increase in time deposits in pesos, partially offset by a 16% decrease in other deposits in pesos. The bank's estimated market share of loans to the private sector was 13%, 78 basis points higher than at the end of the year-ago quarter, and the market share of deposits from the private sector was 14.2%, 400 basis points higher than in the same quarter of 2024. The bank's liquid assets represented 62.4% of transactional deposits and 39.3% of total deposits, compared to 104.9% and 65.9% respectively from a year before. As regards asset quality, the ratio of non-performing loans to total financing ended the quarter at 2.75%, recording a 66 basis points deterioration as compared to the 2.09% of the first quarter of the prior year. At the same time, the coverage with allowances reached 153.3%, up 4.9 percentage points from the 148.4% recorded a year ago. As of the end of March 2025, the bank's total regulatory capital ratio reached 21.1%, decreasing 10.7 percentage points from the end of the same quarter of 2024, while the Tier 1 ratio was 20.8%, down 12.5 percentage points during the same period. Consolidated with Galicia Más, the total capital ratio would have been 25.3%. In summary, in a challenging political and macro environment, Grupo Financiero Galicia was able to keep asset quality, liquidity, solvency, and profitability metrics at healthy levels, and at the same time, continue to move forward with the integration with Galicia Más, which would be completed before the end of next June. We are now ready to answer the questions that you may have. Thank you.
We are going to start the question and answer section for investors and analysts. If you wish to ask a question, please click on Raise Hand. If your question has already been answered, you can leave the queue by clicking on Put Hand Down. Our first question comes from Brian Flores with Citi.
Hi, Pablo, Gonzalo. Thank you for the opportunity to ask a question. Just wanted the first one, if I can, on the guidance. We have seen some of your peers already shifting some of the lines in the guidance, and I think you did not mention it in your remarks. So you just wanted to know if you're making any changes on any of the lines. And then the second question is on asset quality, because we are seeing some fast deterioration. I know there was some changes on accounting, and I know the fourth quarter had perhaps some spikes. But I think now this is more comparable, and we are still seeing some pressures on asset quality. So could you elaborate a bit on where is it coming from, these increases in delinquency particularly, and also if we should expect this to normalize, or maybe, I don't know, the new range is, I know we're coming from a low base, but the new range is a bit higher than what we were initially expecting. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for the question. I mean, in terms of guidance, we are seeing ROE for the year now between 12 and 13% for the group. As we said, this is a transition year for us, and for the, we believe for the entire financial system, where we know we are building our portfolio and you know, we're coming from very low levels of lending. So we're in that process of building the portfolio and compensating lower margins with higher volumes. And on top of that, we have the merge with Galicia Más, and we expect some expenses on the transition, on the integration from the IT side, but also you know from the integration, we expect we may be short on the restructuring provision booked last quarter. We may need a bit more, so we don't know numbers yet. But that's what we are seeing with how things are evolving, which is a good news, you know, for the future. It may have some more expenses this year. So that's why we are changing also the guidance on ROE for the group. Talking about delinquency or NPLs, I mean, we were coming, the increase in NPLs comes from the individual's portfolio, not wholesale. Wholesale is really flat. So I would say this is entire for our consumer lending, let's say, but that is the one that grew fastest and started to grow fast. So we were coming from very low levels. We expect, so we saw, as the financial system in Argentina saw increase on NPLs, we are seeing that. We made some changes in origination in the first quarter because I think we are also trying to look what the sweet spot where we want to be. After a high growth, it's something unusual for the local system to grow as fast. So we made those changes. So we expect this to stabilize. And by the end of the year, the NPLs should be around or a bit less than what we are currently having. We may see still a spike in NPLs in the next couple of months, but then a reduction or stabilization for the end of the year. So we knew that was something was going to happen when you grow at this pace. Again, we were coming from low levels. We believe that now with the main changes we make, we will be able to stabilize that and get to a normal, let's say, levels.
Thank you, Gonzalo. So just to confirm on their ROE range, you're decreasing a bit from 15 to 12 to 13. And then can you confirm if the loan growth of 50% in real terms and deposits between 30 and 40% are reiterated or have any changes?
No, the growth rates are, we are keeping those. We think that those are still what's going to happen, yeah.
Super clear, thank you.
Yeah. Remember that, as you said, 12, 13 in real terms, no? So it's, our ROE has already excluded inflation because in Argentina we have inflation accounting and that's already included in the P&L, as you just said.
Our next question comes from Ernesto Gabilondo with Bank of America.
Thank you. Hi, good morning, Gonzalo, Pablo, and Etienne. Thanks for the opportunity to ask questions. My first one will be a follow-up in asset quality. So we noticed a higher NPL ratio, but at the same time, we also saw cost of risk normalized from last quarter as it was abnormally high because of an impact on Tarjeta. So just wondering, how should we think about the cost of risk evolving in the next quarters and for the full year? My second question is on expenses. We saw lower than expected expenses because you have started to use the expense provision build for HSBC in fourth quarter. But at the same time, you were saying that you should expect some expenses related to IT and the integration costs related to Galicia Más. So you just wanted to think, how should we expect OPEX growth for the year? And if there's at some point room to do some cost synergies. And my last question will be on deposits. We have seen one of your peers remunerating deposits at 32% to attract clients. So I just wanted to know if you are following a similar strategy with your credit card business. Would it be the same strategy at the bank? So any color on this remuneration on deposits on each of the subsidiaries will be very helpful.
Thank you. So to remember the three questions. Cost of risk. I mean, cost of risk, as you see, for the group is stable. We have seen a bit increase in the bank and a bit reduction in Naranja. So talking about the bank, Galicia Bank, I mean, we'll see a spike in the first quarter, as it says. We may see something also to continue in the second quarter, but then start to go down, and we expect a lower number in the fourth quarter, around 5.5, something like that, 5.6% versus the 6.8 that we are having now. So for the bank, we see Naranja is stable, and for the bank, we'll see an improvement on the second half of the year. First half, we still be at these levels. We may see for the second half some improvement because of all the actions on the origination that I mentioned. Talking about expenses, I think was the second one, about the, I mean, what you see a reduction in expenses quarter over quarter, not just because we are using the provision, but because last quarter we booked the provision. So last quarter you have a provision that this year, you don't, that this quarter you don't have it. Because the provision is paying for, you know, voluntary redundancies. So that's the main variation you'll see quarter over quarter. That's talking about, I think you were talking about the synergies on Galicia Más or the former HSBC. I think the good news is we are anticipating and having a fast, approach on synergies because we may be able to perform almost 90% of the synergies expected this year. The point is, it's difficult now to predict on which pace, because at some point you'll have the saving, but also if that happens, we may have a bit of higher restructuring expenses. As I mentioned in prior question, the provision that we booked last quarter may not be enough. So if this trend continues, so if that happens, we may have a one-off this year of more restructuring expenses, but with the good news that we are getting a sustainable saving for the future. So for the year, I would say it's a bit soon to say, because it will be a mix of accelerating some synergies, and so the good thing of the saving, but also the one-off of the restructuring. But we expect that, I think that the summary is that at the end, we may end with a bit higher expenses that because of the integration, system expenses, and restructuring expenses, but with a faster approach, so we can start next year better than what we thought when we thought about this plan. And I think it was another one.
Remuneration of deposits.
Remuneration of deposits. I mean, as you know, Naranja X is remunerating deposits. It's plan of their business model. I mean, they take deposits on the digital wallet and they lend personal loans. In the bank, it's different. As you know, our current deposits base, we have our mutual fund, which is called FIMA, you know, the money market deposits, that is 24/7. So customers can use that as a remunerating account. We are not seeing any big change in the near future Of course, we are always analyzing strategic alternatives and see what's best for our customers and for our funding base. But I wouldn't say we are making any, we're thinking in any major change in the near future. Well, this of course can change, as I said, because we're always analyzing an opportunity. But so far, we believe that for the bank, we are not thinking in that or going to apply that option, let's say.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Gonzalo. Just to follow up on this last one, can you share with us how much are you remunerating in Naranja X? How much is in the mutual fund of the bank? Just to have an idea, no, of how is the difference between them. And additionally, are you seeing competitors being aggressive and at some point potentially changing the strategy of the bank, or you think it's still too soon to know?
I mean, if you're talking about that, I mean, about remunerating accounts, so far, as you said, we just saw one bank doing it, so we haven't seen a real change in the market. If you look at market share, I mean, banks with higher market share haven't changed that policy so far. We are not seeing any change in general. Of course, there are some players that may do, as you mentioned. So we are not seeing other changes than that. Of course, they may happen. In terms of rates,
yes. I would like to add some comment there. Today the funding breakdown in pesos for us is 70% with cost, 30% with no cost, and it's very atomized. And as inflation is going down, this threat is becoming smaller. I would say it was very important to remunerate transactional accounts or deposits when monthly inflation was much higher than today. In the case of our money market fund, the last yield I saw was around 23.8, 24%. That is what is yielding, and you can withdraw it anytime, any day, any hour. And in the case of Naranja, it's in the range of 30%. It has some different like buckets, and you have limits in terms of amount, but on average would be around that number.
Yeah, if you leave more the money, like a time deposit, they pay you more. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important what Pablo just said. I mean, that we see that the attractiveness of the remuneration with inflation going down is always valid, but it loses, you know, attractiveness for the customer base because of the lower interest rates and the less inflation to combat.
Perfect. Now, thank you very much, Gonzalo and Pablo. Mm-hmm.
Our next question comes from Carlos Gomez Lopez with HSBC.
Hello, thank you very much for taking my question. I don't think you have mentioned the economic assumptions that you have. We would like to know what you expect in terms of growth, inflation, and exchange rate and interest rates by the end of the year and next year. Second, in terms of asset quality, you mentioned that on the corporate portfolio, everything has been fine, but we are seeing news of a number of corporates which are starting to not pay at least their debentures, their capital markets issuance. Do you think that you will see more such problems as interest rates go down and companies have to change their business models? Are you concerned about your cost of risk in the corporate segment? Thank you.
Yeah. Talking about the second question first, starting, and then I'll leave Pablo give the other one. On the wholesale, I mean, for example, you are talking, I'm sure, about news of the last days about a company that is defaulting the loan for the issuance or the commercial papers, etc. In that, for example, in that exposure, we have a very, very low, less than $6 million unsecured, and then a couple of million secure. So we have a very low exposure on that one. So, I mean, with this change of Argentina, they may, in this of change of business of country model, I would say, maybe sectors winners and sectors that will lose. Really, so far that our portfolio is well balanced, and really, of course, that if things doesn't improve as expected in Argentina, things can go south. But so far, we are not seeing a concentration in an area or in an industry that is concerning us, that can affect materially our performance. We can have things here and there, but we are not seeing so far, as I said, a concentration that can that is concerning us for the reasons you just mentioned.
Yes, now, hi Carlos. Now, regarding the macroeconomic assumptions, these are from our chief economist. There is also a good source that is the central bank, in which like 50 economists have their estimates, and it's a kind of average. But looking at our chief economist, in terms of GDP, he's forecasting 5.4% growth this year and 4.5 next year. Inflation for this year, 26%, that is the December variation, and for next year, 14%. When we look at the FX, it's a moving target, but the last number he gave us was 1,230 at the end of this year, and close to 1,400 next year. These are the main assumptions. In terms of interest rates, all or most of the interest rates are going down a little bit due to this expected reduction in inflation.
So I mean, we're at 32%. I think the policy rate is right now. So it
today
will
is
be lower.
29.
29. Okay.
29.
So by the end of the year, lower than that.
In next year, he's forecasting something around 24. Again, it's a moving target, but that was the last number he provided.
It's important to mention, Carlos, that what we are seeing, because of the high demand of lending and loans growing faster than deposits, we are not seeing really, even though the central bank can reduce the monetary policy rate, we are not seeing that happen. Also, that going together with the lending rate in the market, because again, as I said, I mean, demand for loans is high, and so we are not at that point, and for that reason, we are not seeing that. Even though rate could continue going down, we are not seeing that lending rate can. Mainly in the individuals, but also in SMEs, that will continue together that reduction. Of course, it may go a couple something down, but not at the same proportion. Because again, in the first quarter, we saw margin. If you exclude margin, government bonds, our margin reduction was mainly affected by the trading portfolio. No, but if you exclude that and do margin in pesos, excluding the government bonds performance. It increased a couple of hundred basis points from prior quarter. Because of the fast growth in lending, the high demand, the lending rates are not going down in the market. Just to complement that, not because of Argentina situation, not necessarily a reduction in monetary policy rate will imply a reduction in the lending or in the whole margin of the banks.
Very clear. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Pedro Leduc with Itaú BBA.
Thank you very much for the call and taking the question. Pleasure to be here. First, on Naranja X specifically, very nice ROE, close to 30%. If you can talk a little bit more about the business drivers here, seems like on the NIM side and provisions also in the next few quarters. And if this should be still growing higher than the rest of the business. And then last, second question, and quick, on the market share that you report there under Galicia Más, it fell from high 2s to low 2% this quarter. I understand there's an adjustment process taking place. So you can share a little more if this is already the market share that we should see, if there's already more going to the other parts of the group. So these will be the two questions. Thank you.
I start with the second one, which is Galicia market share. I mean, what is happening there is we are anticipating customer migrations in wholesale, for example, meaning, complex customers. We are already asking them to open accounts in Galicia and start to transfer, deposits and their transactionality to Galicia. So it's easier for the integration, not need to migrate complex customers that, for example, have trade finance, structured products. I mean, talking about wholesale, not retail. So in that case, even though you see a market share reduction, part of that is done by the movement or the transition to Galicia in advance to the migration.
Clear.
So
Thank you.
that for the market share part, if you want to answer the other one.
Yes, on Naranja X, hi Pedro. You can see an increase in the margin, in the financial margin, and an improvement in the cost of risk. Basically, these are the two main drivers, and they have been growing both in number of clients and in loans origination. Typically, for Naranja, when interest rates go down, their cost of funding improves more than the interest rate they can charge for personal loans and credit card financing. So typically, there is a margin expansion in their case. It's different from the bank. And the cost of risk improved basically because in the fourth quarter, they had changed the model for expected losses. Basically, they had a model that took into account or used variables that were more related with credit card financing. And as they were growing significantly with personal loans, they had to adapt and change that model. That's why the cost of risk went down from levels of, I don't remember exactly, from 19 to 15 or so. So the profitability of Naranja should be good for the full year. What should happen is that the weight of the bank should be recovering. It's very unusual that Naranja has a higher net income than Banco Galicia.
Very clear and complete answers. Thank you both.
You're welcome, Pedro.
Please hold while we poll for questions. Our next question from Rodrigo Nistor with Latin Securities. With loan growth consistently outpacing deposit growth, a moderation in loan growth seems inevitable. How does management envision real loan growth settling post-transition period, say by early 4Q26?
Well, of course, hi Rodrigo. The first comment I can say is that when you look at the loan to deposit ratio, typically it's very different between pesos and dollar. Big numbers in pesos, 90%, in dollars, 50%. We are seeing different growth rates from deposits and loans, but of course the stocks are different now, so we must look at the absolute amount. In certain months, there could be more shortage, let's say, of funding, and that is why the bank has been issuing different bonds recently, in pesos, in dollars. Typically, in dollars, we sold the dollars and we lent pesos and we covered the dollars with the forward. So we are looking at different ways to have that demand satisfied. The idea is to keep on growing, and that's why we are keeping the guidance of 50% loan growth this year.
Yeah, I mean, just to add to that, I mean, of course, we are going after institutional deposits like commercial paper, but also, trying to focusing a lot in deposits, which is the core funding and the more safe funding. Well, we are seeing, of course, that the loans are growing faster than deposits, and that at some point will change, because that, not for Galicia, but for the local financial system, could be a constraint in the lending growth. But we believe that even though if the pie of deposit doesn't grow, we believe that we are in a very well position to capture more market share in deposits with our size and our reach to different segments and customers. We believe that we can do a good job there, and if the pie of deposit doesn't grow, we can get more market share and be able to continue growing our lending. So that's a focus of all the business lines, to get more deposits. As you know, it's the raw material to continue growing lending. And again, we believe that we are in a good position to achieve that and be able to maintain the lending growth as projected.
Next question from Matthias Cataruzzi. With inflation decelerating, how do you see net interest margins evolving? Are there specific repricing strategies or asset mix shifts planned to help protect margins going forward? Deposits declined 5% quarter and quarter in real terms. Was this a seasonal effect or driven by a competitive pressure? What strategies are in place to recover deposit momentum? And do you expect the recent dollar-related measures announced by the government to enhance your dollar business and support deposit growth?
I mean, deposits, as I said, deposits are growing. That's something punctual. We are not seeing deposits reduction in general. And if you see in the bank, I think that's group what you are talking about. But I mean, we really, what we are seeing is deposits growing lower than loans, but not that we are losing market share in deposits, nothing like that. So we are in the bank, no? We are not seeing that happening. That could be something, again, temporal. But so we are continuing to focus, as I said before, on our tools and weapons in growing deposits, because we want to continue growing lending. Talking about margins, I mean, we, as I said, what you see here in margin reduction, yes, is an important reduction in government bonds, quarter over quarter. If we go, that it was an important income for banks, of course, but that March, April, we already start to see an increase or a recuperation on our trading portfolio, and we are a third, more or less, of what we lose in the first quarter. It's already recovered between April and May. But if we exclude the government bonds investments, I think, as I said before, we are seeing our margins in pesos, for example, being flat quarter over quarter. And if we exclude government lending in pesos, we are seeing an increase of 200 basis points between fourth quarter and first quarter. So we are seeing high demand in lending. So really, the lending rate has not gone down. In fact, in some products, lending rate has gone up in the last months, and it may continue happening if the lending demand continues at this level. So margin, we may see some margin reduction in the government securities side. That depends, of course, also the volatility of Argentina and the sea of how each of the bonds are trading. But on the lending side, we are seeing a margin stabilization, and in some products, some slight increase going forward.
Our next question from Clemente Herrera with Falcom Asset Management. How do you see ROE evolving this and the following years? You are well capitalized, so maybe you are seeing more space there.
I mean, for ROE, as I said, this year, I think we talked about 12-13 in the guidance. We see that to start to go up again for the future years, I mean, 26-27. Our intention and our target is to continue maybe towards a 20% ROE, stable 20% ROE, maybe 17 next year and 20 the following one. that's a trend we want to, but we believe that our consider our size, we should be trading or operating at a sustainable 20 ROE. That should be, of course, something that will go in stages after we finish the integration this year and start capturing all the value from the HSBC acquisition and finish with all the synergies. That would be my the evolution of the ROE that we at least are targeting for the future.
Thank you. The question and answer section is over. We would like to hand the floor back to Mr. Pablo Firvida for the company's final remarks.
Okay, thank you all for attending this call. If you have any further questions, please do not hesitate to contact us. Good morning. Bye-bye.
Grupo Financiero Galicia conference is now closed. We thank you for your participation and wish you a nice day.